Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a bit, I am going to be joined by Pete Zayas. And he and I actually have a fun show lined up for you. Heading into the season, he and I both kind of thought, he more so than I did, that the Lakers would kind of buck the trend of reigning champions, maybe not approaching the season with much gusto, right? The notion that because of their previous success, you maybe feel confident of in being able to win somewhere else, or because of the weird circumstances that the Lakers are playing in. On top of that, the Lakers' regular season might not be as impressive as maybe you would expect out of a team this talented. And I wanted to know if he has kind of shifted on that take at all. From there, we talk about that for the first couple segments, and then in the third segment, we get you ready for the Lakers matchups back to back in San Antonio, and the kind of issues that might come about playing against a team that knows its identity a little bit more right now than the Lakers do, and whether the Lakers' talent can make up for that. So again, really fun show. You could find this show as well as all of our other ones everywhere that you find any podcast, and it records or releases Monday through Friday. Enjoy this one, and hopefully next time I talk to you guys, we'll be enjoying a Lakers win over the San Antonio Spurs that I just cannot stand. All right, we are, Pete and I are here to discuss a kind of interesting topic. It might be too early for the conversation, but I don't know. It's a Tuesday or a Monday. No, is it a Monday?
It's a Tuesday.
Oh my God.
We're already in the losing track of what day of the week it is portion of the season.
So when we get into NBA, into the NBA season, especially covering games out here, I'm going to bed regularly at 2 a.m, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm waking up with Avery at 8-ish. Mm-hmm. And so my body at this point, like you could tell me I was in Argentina right now and I might. So that's the situation that we're dealing with. That is not actually what we're going to talk about. Today's show, heading into the season, Pete and I thought that contrary to what we might have thought heading in, maybe the Lakers would take the season a little bit more seriously and try to win a few more games than we might have thought or that you might think under the circumstances, right? Returning champion, same-ish core, older team, that they won a championship only a couple months ago, right? And you would think, and I wouldn't hold it against anybody, and frankly, I might find myself agreeing with them, that, yeah, they'd probably take this easy and not really care about what seed they get and then, really try to turn it on in the playoffs. And heading in, though, Pete, you and I thought that that might not be the case because of some of what we saw last season, because of the way that a lot of these guys tend to tick. And I'm wondering, Pete, if you, having seen them in action now for a week and having seen them not play with the most energy in a couple of those games, if you've kind of rethought some of that premise.
Not really. If I've moved off of that spot, it's not by much. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is I think this early portion of the season is going to be weird. I think the whole season is going to be strange. Yeah. And that alone and the impact of the ways in which it's weird may make it impossible to have that kind of season in and of itself. But starting, it makes sense to me that they would start slower, right? Mm-hmm. But the level of engagement that I see in terms of conversations and in terms of them being really focused and locked in on specifics, last night was the game where we really drifted mentally and we talked about that. Mm-hmm. But what I see from the players in general, that's going to bear fruit amongst new players as everybody gets kind of acclimated to what we are. But no, I think we've had, like we had a 15-0 run last night. Mm-hmm. We had a couple, couple of months, we've had a monstrous run in every single game. And I know that basketball is a game of runs, but there's a difference between a 10-2 run, which is a normal basketball run, and the types of 15-0 runs that we go on, or even extended ones that are like 60-21 over a quarter and a half or something like that. You know, they've just got that level of combustibility to them, to their offense, that I think we're going to be really good against really bad teams, right? With Portland, they weren't anticipating kind of the punch back, I think, right, on that third game in four nights, back-to-back and all that. And I think we'll get got on a few nights like that, right? And in the context of this is going to be a self-motivated team, we also did point that out. There's going to be nights where we try to outscore the opponent, where we are not, you know, completely locked in and just try to, and they'll be an irritating team. I do think this will continue to be an irritating team at points, but there's so much talent that I think that over the course of time, those things, and the talent plus the level of engagement that I see in the smaller moments, I know that's hard to say after a game like last night where they weren't engaged much at all. I think that those two things are going to add up, where the lack of familiarity with new players and all of that. I think this first portion of the season is going to be especially strange, and things will normalize in maybe a month or so. And so, yeah, maybe we don't start out with that great record. I still think we will. I know we're 2-2 right now, but I still think that's going to bear fruit, especially over the next 10 games or so. Like we're 2-2 right now. I think we'll be, you know, 10-4, 11-3 after the next 10 games or so. So, that's my theory. Now, if we're, you know, 8-7 at that period of time, that might be the point where I start to move off of that. Are you a little more skeptical than I am?
Well, I think in the first place, I was more of the opinion that, like, I was lower on their regular season total heading into the year than you were. That's not to say, like, I hoped to see greatness, and I hoped to see, to have a high bar and have them reach it. But I'm heading into it, it's just, there's just a few things that the Lakers have that are going to be net positives, obviously, at the end of the year, but kind of take away from you during the regular season, right? So on one hand, on one thing, LeBron James teams are not, they tend to be kind of frustrating during the regular season, right? And to the point where, you know, you'll get, you know, three or four of those jump segments a year with LeBron James teams, right? What's going on with the Cavs? What are we going to see here with the Miami Heat? I think we're probably going to get a couple of those segments on the jump as well this year, just because that's the way LeBron teams tend to operate. And then the other thing too, and I kind of want to build on this in the next segment, but I really think that deep teams, it winds up being a net positive in the regular season, but deep teams have more to figure out early on in the year than shallower teams. And I think that's something that we saw, we're seeing across the NBA really right now, is that it's harder to identify roles when there's a lot, there are a lot fewer roles to go around.
I think that I'd love to get into that in the second segment with how that applies specifically to the Lakers, because I think that very much applies to this team.
Yep. Let's hang tight. We have a Bet Online segment here in a bit, or Bet Online Team of the Day or Game of the Day here coming in a bit, and then Pete and I will talk about that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by BetOnline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you will get a 50% deposit bonus, which gives you a little bit more leeway in case I go on crazy cold strikes like this and you haven't been fading me like all the smart people have. Today's game of the day is going to be the Lakers playing in San Antonio. And normally here is where I would give you, you know, a take on how I feel about the game. But what I'm probably going to say for the foreseeable future until we see the Lakers actually play consistently hard or something close to hard, is to probably stay away from the Lakers for a little bit. And what that's going to allow me to do, not today, because today's game of the day is going to be Lakers Spurs, but maybe even starting tomorrow, I might pick games that aren't Laker games to put a little extra highlight on, because the Lakers are so tough to predict right now. So for those interested, as I'm recording this right now, because the Spurs and Lakers have so many questions about who might play and all that stuff, there is no line. But if you want to get updates on this stuff, you should be following at betonline_AG on Twitter, and they will release the lines as they come and give you updates on how various sports are doing as well. So follow at betonline_AG for your betting information on Twitter, and then head on over to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get a 50% deposit bonus. So one of the things that you and I talked about last night, Pete, was this idea that, you know, with Wesley Matthews, right? You asked, or we talked about what kind of sample size that we need before we start making kind of definitive judgments on guys. And for me, I said, with somebody like Matthews, who is somewhat redundant on the team, little redundant, especially like if he's this bad, he's redundant in the G League. But like if for Matthews, like I said, about 10, 15 games or so, because there are other guys who can get his minutes and be productive in his minutes. And while that's like, that helps with that definitive judgment earlier on, that also makes it difficult to find anything definitive for each individual player. So the only guys on the team right now who really can be comfortable about what their role is are Anthony Davis and LeBron James. That's it. Maybe Marc Gasol, maybe, but not really. Everybody else, like Dennis Schroeder, wants to be the starting point guard, but I'm not really sure that's his best role on this team. KCP's coming off of an incredible postseason. I'm sure he would like a few more opportunities than he's gotten so far this year. Kyle Kuzma, it was born wanting more opportunities. And so, like, what where you stand here with the Lakers, while you have all of the other stuff that we talked about in the first segment, the mental fatigue from last year, the physical fatigue from last year, the just inherent lapse in focus that you're going to get after you win a championship. On top of that, you have all of these guys. Frank Vogel has to find some kind of a role when there are so many guys fighting for every single role here.
Yeah, I think I take it in a slightly different direction than you, mm-hmm. you take it, is that I think we're trying to incorporate different styles of play, mm-hmm. and especially on the offensive end. And my biggest concern, honestly, is that we are not hanging our hats on consistent defense, mm-hmm. which is going to be like, I think we're going to be so good on offense that we can get away with bad defense more. Right. Mm-hmm. And that can build up some bad habits. But on the offensive end, like Dennis Schroeder is a style of play in and of himself. Marc Gasol especially is a style of play in and of himself, with the passing at the top of the key. And it's not a style of play that we had last season. Mm-mm. In either guy, Schroeder is a little more similar to Rondo. Right. You can kind of replicate what he does. But, you know, he's much faster. He's way more of a scorer than Rondo was, not as good of a passer. But just he brings his own thing to the mm-hmm. table, as does Mark. And that, trying to incorporate that into an environment where we already have established things, like, it's been super interesting to see how often we've posted up with LeBron and AD, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that we did a ton of last year. And we should still continue to exploit one-on-one matchups against two of the most talented offensive players in the world. But in those situations, Mark can be kind of, his value is minimized, right? And so what does that look like? And I'm seeing progress on all of those things, right? In that he had some seal assists, good old screen assists.
he on drives. Pin down screens down in the corner. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like just figuring out, okay, if I'm going to be in this dunker spot, let me set this pin screen right here in KCP is going to hit this corner three, because I mm-hmm. set a kick-ass pin screen right here, right? And so for everybody, even when Mark does have the ball, it's everybody, like some guys, like Kuz, for example, that's peanut butter and jelly, fish to water type stuff, where mm-hmm. he just does that naturally. But others, it's like, oh yeah, let's have Mark make our lives easier, because guys like LeBron and AD are used to getting the ball. And so, like, what I haven't seen a lot of synergy between Mark and AD yet. And so incorporating that and figuring all that out. And then defensively, what Mark is good at and what Harrell is good at are two different things, right? And so getting on the same page with that. And then on top of all that, you've got this condensed schedule where you're going to have a lot more back-to-backs, a lot more three games in four nights that I don't think we put nearly enough, that we understand nearly enough of how impactful that actually is. And when, you know, when a team comes in here and wants to kick our ass and wants to shine on the Staples Center court, and for us, it's the third game in four nights, like, probably going to be more games like this. So it's just been too short of a period of time for me to go the, oh, this guy wants more touches, this guy needs that. Like, I think they're all, they seem on the same page. Even last night, they were on the same page. In that fourth quarter, that was a team that was playing, that was waiting for that game to end rather than trying to win it, right? Everybody's body language was very similar by the end of that game. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at. Maybe I'm being foolish, but this is a, I would love to revisit this with you, Anthony, in like 10 to 15 games to see where we're at.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that we're gonna keep watching. It's one of the main themes to this Lakers season is what kind of season is it going to be? And until it's over, that's the only time we'll actually know, I think. I don't mean it to say that, like, Schroeder is like they're on, because when you talk about being on different pages and with different intentions, it sounds a little bit more pejorative than I mean it. I just mean, like you're talking about, there are such different personalities and styles of plays that, and also, like, you know, there are, you have a, while you have your veterans like Marc Gasol and you have your veterans like LeBron and AD who kind of understand the role that they should probably play in, you know, that they probably know what their maximized role is for a winning team at this stage of their careers. Schroeder probably doesn't. I don't think. Like I think he's probably too young to know. He probably expects an outsized role that I'm not sure lends itself that well to winning basketball, you know. And I think the same can probably be said about Kuzma, right? And that's what that's you kind of want that, by the way, with young guys in the NBA. Like it'd be much worse if it was like the Jeff Green syndrome where they early in his career, you wanted him to want it more. Like you wanted him to step into his talent more and fill a role that was bigger than what he was comfortable playing. So I'd rather have the Lakers deal with the problem that they have, but it is still something that they have to figure out. It is still something that is going to take time for Schroeder to learn. I might actually be better in this role, even while it's not the role that I intended to start the year. That's oftentimes how things go.
I don't agree with you on the Schroeder point in terms of, like, I think Schroeder's been really good, and I think he's been a key to our defense, which I wasn't expecting the degree to which he'd be as important defensively. I think the concept of, like, people getting used to each other and learning kind of where they fit into this bigger picture, I agree with. I just disagree on that specific point. But yeah, that's going to be – that's why last night pissed me off so much, was it was like we've got – all of this talent, but it's a completely different thing. And repeating brings a whole group of challenges in and of themselves. And so every day matters in the process of that. And let's make sure we take every day seriously and focus. And if you've only got 80% to give 100% of the 80% that you have to give, you know what I'm saying? And yesterday didn't seem like a productive day in the broader work that we are trying to do in incorporating everybody. But that doesn't, it's one day out of, and we've had other very good days over the last week that have improved that. In a month, what does that look like? I'm still very bullish on what that's going to be.
Yeah, I would probably say, you know, to actually answer the question, I would probably say I've scaled back my expectations to, like, I would probably see them as the 2 or 3 seed. I don't see them. I think they're too talented to drop down as far as 4, but you know, heading into the year, I probably had them as a clear cut one seed, not in terms of, and I'm not saying that they're the second or third best team in the conference, just that that's the number of games that they're going to win. And I think there are teams that are going to be pursuing wins harder this year than the Lakers are going to be. Just because, like, also with LeBron,
totally fair.
For LeBron in particular, I don't think LeBron, I definitely don't think he fears playing the Clippers for a quote unquote Clippers home game, right? I don't think he's particularly nervous about going to Denver. You don't have to worry about, like, I don't think there's any team whose home court advantage is something that is going to be a sizable concern for LeBron. And if LeBron is your tone setter, then I think that's probably how everybody else is going to feel. They're going to be, and for good reason, by the way, the champion should be confident in its ability to go in and win anywhere. So, you know, I just think when you have that amount of confidence, and there are teams out there who don't have that amount of confidence, Utah probably doesn't feel that way. Denver doesn't feel that way. I would imagine the Clippers don't feel that way. Because a Lakers home game is a hell of a lot more daunting to the Clippers than a Clippers home game is to the Lakers. And so, you know, you have all of these things. And I think while I don't think any less of the team, I just think their sights are set a little bit lower than I might have thought heading into it. And 10, 15 games from now, I might sound like an idiot.
You won't sound like an idiot at all, even if you end up being wrong, because it's totally reasonable. That's not unusual in a repeat season. I've said it before about the 2001 season that we look back on as maybe the greatest Lakers team of all time. The regular season kind of sucked that year. Like, it wasn't really bad. I mean, it's relative, right? We still won 50 some odd games. I think we were the 3 seed, maybe we're the 2 seed, but it was exactly the type of season that you're describing right here during the regular season. It's just that we beat the crap out of everybody in the playoffs, and so
nobody
really remembers that. Exactly. So no, you're not. I think that there are a lot of people that love basketball on this team that are really kind of basketball geeks, and from seeing other Lakers teams, I think there is a disproportionate number of people like that. We need AD to join the party, man. And like, he's one of the very best players in the league. And when he's not either capable or ready to go, or whatever is keeping him from being not the NBA Finals version of him, right? But like, I want, you know how LeBron is right now? Like, we know this isn't the best version of LeBron, but he's still kicking ass, right?
Yeah.
I want that version of AD. That's what I'm hoping for in the next few games. And so as soon as that guy joins the party, I think it slots the rest of the team into the dominant position that they could be in. I'm just still very bullish on it, but it's a totally reasonable theory, even if it ends up playing out and go on a 10 game winning streak right now.
That would be the perfect thing to happen though.
It would.
All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we are going to look ahead to the 2 games against San Antonio that the Lakers have ahead of them. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Go. Look, we've been working with Built Bar for so long. They released this incredible new product. I've been using it forever. There is nothing worse than coming back from a long holiday weekend. And in this case, you're coming back from a long holiday weekend followed by yet another long holiday weekend. And what that means is that wall that you normally hit on any given day, well, that's going to hit you even harder. Later in the week, that wall where your body feels like, because of the last couple weeks, that you should be getting ready for a long weekend, and then you realize, nope, I'm not. I have another work day tomorrow. You feel even more exhausted from that. And what Built Go does is get you ready for that exact wall. And when you hit it, just pop one of these 1.5-ounce packets. They are loaded with everything that not only picks you up, but also lets you down nice and easy, so you don't get that crash on your way home too. And if you go to builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Just like with Built Bar, it's not your first order, but your next order. So one more time, visit builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. builtgo.com, let's go. All right, so San Antonio is kind of a weird team this year. They are very athletic, right? You have DeMar DeRozan, Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray, who are just like, and DeRozan, even at this stage of his career, is still a ridiculous athlete. You have Rudy Gay, who's one of the best athletes I've ever seen. And then they were also kind of slow in some spots with LaMarcus Aldridge, and Patty Mills isn't like a quickster either. So, and they are playing pop system. And so far they have wins against Toronto and Memphis, and they have a loss against New Orleans. And it's kind of too bad. I feel like that you're only going to see San Antonio twice, and then you're not going to see them for a really long time.
We go San Antonio, Memphis, Memphis, San Antonio. We play them three times in five.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was reading the schedule wrong, but yeah. So, but even there, like that's even further to my point, right? It kind of sucks that you're going to see them three times this early in the season, and then you're just not going to see them.
Not again. That's it. We're done with San Antonio for the year. Yep.
Pete, I'm a little nervous playing against a team like San Antonio that, because of the way that the organization is kind of put together, they better understand, I think, like the rules that they have to play, and they're a lot more solidified as a team than the Lakers are right now. And like I'd probably predict that the Lakers probably go 1-2 in the three games against San Antonio. I don't know how confident you are about this matchup.
Yeah, to me, every individual game fits into this broader concept of building, right? And so mm-hmm. like the question I ask before every game is, why does this game matter, and what challenges does this team present that we can work on, that presents us an opportunity to work on something? So mm-hmm. with as frustrating as yesterday's game was, seeing Marc Gasol be able to hedge high mm-hmm. and trap Dame, and to help kind of prevent those shots. Now, we were bad in all a bunch of other aspects of the game, but it was like, okay, good. That's something that we can build off of next time we play a guard, a Jamal Murray, a Damian Lillard, those guys mm-hmm. that can hit pull-up jump shots at a really high level. And so with San Antonio, they're averaging 30 assists per game through their mm-hmm. first three games. And they've been running Popovich's system for years and years and years. And so the passing and the ability to defend guys coming off of screens and ball and player movement that comes from their system will be a challenge on our defense. And so you have reason to be concerned in that respect, right? In that they could very easily carve us up if we play with the level of intensity that we did on the other end.
The Washington Generals might have carved us up.
Bro, they were ready to go home, man. I rewatched the game today. I was like, come on, guys. But I get it. I get it, but there also has to be that's the push and pull of this season, is that like long-term matters, but today matters too. Even mm-hmm. if it's just a little bit in the whole grand scheme of things, every day matters. Every piece of this puzzle matters. And so I think that a team like San Antonio with their passing and systemic movement is different than those unique individual talents like a Damian Lillard or even CJ McCollum that I think will be a good thing to build off of and get tape on. THT, for example, if he gets some run, he's been bad defending guys off of screens even since the preseason. He doesn't know how to lock and trail. He takes mm-hmm. a false step backwards a lot of time to push off, and then he loses a half step in a way that you don't get burned on that in the G League as much, certainly not as much in college or on the high school level. So that's really the challenge that they present. That said, if we attack the hell out of the front of the rim, I don't see how they can stop us with their rim protection. They got Poeltl, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think there are things that the Lakers do really well that San Antonio just doesn't really have a solution for. And there are things that San Antonio does really well that the Lakers in theory might have something to say about. But given what we've seen from the Lakers so far this season, they might struggle against a little bit. So San Antonio is shooting just under 32 threes a game. They are knocking down 37% of those threes. So they're shooting the ball pretty damn well. And if say Trez gets into that habit of really soft coverage, I'm not saying that Walker or Murray are the kinds of point guards that would really hurt him for doing that, but Mills certainly will. Like, that's something that Mills would happily take advantage of. And then the other thing too is, like, one of the things that I've always enjoyed about DeMar DeRozan's game is when somebody goes into drop coverage, he's really good at closing that space up again and gaining and, you know, finding an angle that, you know, makes it, puts that player, takes away any advantage that that player might gain by dropping into that coverage. And so, like, one of the things I'd really like to see, just to build on your original point with Mark, is I hope somebody at some point challenges Harrell on some of this stuff, just to say, like, man, or I'd like to see Vogel adjust on some of this stuff, right? Just to say, like, this drop coverage that you're employing, it's not to say that you have to go away from it completely, but throw a different pitch, right? Show something else. If the pick and roll is taking place on the sideline, like, one of the things I noticed a lot in some of my rewatching was that I think teams are really focusing on running the pick and roll at the top of the key, whereas with him in particular, whereas, like, for some reason, I think they were kind of bailing out Mark by running it a lot more on the side, you know, closer to the sideline. And, you know, I would like to see either the guard try to force the guard that he's guarding over to the sideline a little bit more, or just do something more to give Harrell a little bit more help in those situations. And hell, even if he jumps up, even if he blitzes, or if they try to trap or whatever, and it hurts you a bunch of times, like, you're now gaining enough data to say, all right, that is something we definitely can't do. So just, I just want to see him switch it up a little bit.
I agree with that. It's going to depend on whether it's Mills or the other guys, because
yeah,
Murray and DeRozan are the kind of guy, they're the opposite of a dame, right? In terms yeah. of DeRozan isn't going to shoot the pull-up three off of a ball screen, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's shooting almost three per game, in, you know, so far this season. But
it's basically like a Steph season for him.
Exactly, right? And DeJounte Murray is a similar type of player where he's not that pull-up threat. He's more, also both guys are more dangerous attacking the front of the rim. And mm-hmm. so that will be interesting with Mark in particular, right? Is, do they target Mark as a shot blocker that's more stripping you down low than he is up high? I agree with the gathering data. I just don't think this is the game to employ the tactics that you're referring mm-hmm. to, unless it's Patty Mills. Patty right. Mills, that's the guy to get up there, have Trez push up and be more aggressive. But yeah, I'd like to see those deep drops, fewer and fewer of those against, you know, pull-up jump shooting threats.
Yeah. And then offensively, I really hope we find a way to get Mark and Kuz on the court more together. Like, it's just something that, especially early in the season. So one of the things that we've talked about a lot is this notion of sacrificing wins, or sometimes sacrificing success for the sake of learning more about your team. Well, I think there's a point where you can do that too much, and it can kind of take away, like, it you need something that gives you some positive reinforcement. So with something that you think that is actually productive, I would like to see them rely on it a little bit more, just to get Kuz going a little bit, you know, and not have such drastic swings from him game to game. And, you know, for AD, I know Frank talked about the idea that they were going to try to get him to be more aggressive. And when I first saw that, I was like, man, I hope that doesn't mean more post-ups, right? Get him moving and get some more high-lows going between him and Mark. Just, you know, with games against San Antonio, you're going to be concerned that they are so well built to take advantage of any mistake that you make. And because you're trying out new things, you are inherently going to make more mistakes. I just hope that doesn't take away from them trying out a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a fun way to watch these games. I'd love to. We play on Wednesday and Friday, and so we will record after the game on Wednesday. It's kind of interesting to have this baseball-ish series of playing the yeah. same team back-to-back and see if there are any adjustments from one game to the other. So I'd love to do that. And then in these early games, I'd love for both of us to keep an eye on what we think Vogel is experimenting with, because the couple things that you pointed out there are a dozen other things he could be trying too in yeah. terms of lineups and combinations that maybe – what you said is on the menu of those things. But I think it would be fun to be like, oh, I'm noticing Vogel's trying this out in this game or in this stretch of games. It'd be cool to see if we can identify that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of something super random that like he would never, ever try out. So Marc Gasol, a point guard, we're just going to see him dribbling the ball up the court. We're going to see him toying with all kinds of,
We had some AD Mark pick and rolls in the game last night, right? And one of them worked. So all that type of stuff. Yeah. Experiment.
I mean, if you're going to do it against a front court, like if Aldridge and Pirtle are out there together, that's a pretty good team to go try that out against again.
Just keep get them moving their feet. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Fun couple games ahead of the Lakers. Hopefully next time, Pete, you and I talk, we aren't in that same like annoyed, frustrated tone that we've had the last couple post-game shows that you and I have done. But first, the Lakers actually have to play that game and hopefully win. So for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you.